near the end of this Christmas season and these readings from Luke, we have here, as you know, this is Luke's account of how Jesus began his public ministry. The place is the same, not the town. It's a synagogue. In Mark, it's the synagogue at Capernaum, where he preaches and drives out a demon. And that night, everybody gathers at the door of Peter's house, and he heals them all. For Luke, he puts first this incident at Nazareth, where the local person comes back. But they know, you know, that this is some sort of a dignitary. And so they pass the scroll to him to comment on. And he does. But he picks this passage, which is the beginning of chapter 61 of Isaiah, which is the last part of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. That's how he sees his whole ministry. Telling people about the Father's love and about the Father's plan, not yet speaking of how that plan would reach its fulfillment and full outpouring of grace and blessing through the cross, but beginning to prepare the people. And as the ministry goes on, as the synoptics recount it, three times our Lord predicts his passion, and three times to his disciples, just to his disciples, and three times they don't get it at all. And that's very important. Huh? The first time, Peter finds it a scandal. You remember that? Far be it from you, O Lord. And Jesus says, get out of my way, Satan. You're an obstacle to me right now. This is the fellow, he just made the head of the church. And the second time, they're on their way and debating about who's the greatest. The third time, they're also debating and having an argument. And then James and John go up to Jesus right after a prediction of the passion and say, we want to sit at your right hand and left. And now he gets very overt. He says, you don't know what you're asking. Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to receive? He knew at his own baptism that he had there in the depth of his own being accepted the totality of the Father's plan, which meant crucifixion. And he knew it. And his whole life was moving in that direction. And so these two fellows, can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Or drink the chalice that I'm going to drink? Sure. No doubt about it. And he says, well, you will when your time comes. But giving away the kingdom is not mine, it's the Father's to do that. Now, there's so many mysteries there about the Trinity, about Jesus, you see. So he reads this text, and he says to everybody there in the synagogue, today, this is fulfilled. I have begun this ministry of preaching to the poor, telling people that they don't have money and they're cold and they have a hard time finding food for their kids, yet you are the first object of the good news. You are the ones I've come for most of all. I've come for everybody, but you most of all. And his own life was like that, you know. Remember when the fellow said, Master, I'll follow you wherever you go. He says, look, birds of the air got nets, foxes got dens, The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And that would be a little bit discouraging to somebody who wanted to make a career in the church. I mean, you know, it's not going to do very well. Or the other guy who said, I'll follow you, but let me go home first and say goodbye to my folks. And he said, look, anybody who starts plowing and then turns back isn't fit. Now, he's alluding to the fact that Elijah, let Elisha go back. Elisha was plowing, remember? And Jesus said, threw his cloak over him. He said, well, let me go back and say something to my father. And he said, what have I done to you? You know, you have to take the responsibility. I've made the gesture. Now you follow through. And there, he was allowed to go back, say goodbye, slaughter one of the oxen, and build a fire and have a big celebratory banquet. I am going to follow Jesus. Matthew did the same thing. He's a tax collector. He's really a toll booth collector, probably. And the minute he's called, what does he do? He calls all his friends together to have a party. Jesus wants me to work with him. So who are all his friends? All the crooks, you know, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, most of whom are crooks because they make their money by that. They assess the region and say to the Romans, I will collect $180,000 from here. 130 for the Romans and 50 for him. That's how he makes his money. So you can imagine they're not very popular. And he calls one. In fact, he calls two when he calls Zacchaeus. And so this is a very, as we get close to the end now of Christmas time, this gospel is very precious. In fact, you know, working with people and counseling people who are in a lot of trouble one way or the other, alcoholics or whatever, I say, read Luke's gospel. Because he's the patron saint of the down and outer. There's more down and out stories in Luke than anywhere else. The woman, the prostitute who comes into the Pharisee's house and washes his feet with her tears, and lots of people. And then the famous story he tells. The Pharisees up in the front there, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like everybody else. You know, I really, you know, I fast, I give alms, And the guy in the back who knows he doesn't have a dime, and all he says is, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, that one went home justified. So the monks said, well, if that's the way to get justified, that's what we're going to do. And that's where the Jesus prayer comes from. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's where it comes from. If that's the way to get justified, man, then that's the way I'm going to pray. Anyway, there are just many spin-offs from this particular reading. Though, as you remember, it didn't go down well there in Nazareth. They tried to throw him over the cliff. Don't do that to Jesus. Listen to him.